Ethics in the supply chain.
Ethics in the supply chain.
You are listening to the Ethics in the Supply Chain podcast, powered by the APSA Business Day Supply Development Awards, giving small business suppliers a seat at the table.
Welcome to our special series in association with the APSA Business Day Supply Development Awards. Good business practice is everyone's responsibility. Now, an ethical supply chain is now a requirement in the global economy as consumers increasingly demand that supply chains meet ethical standards. Activism, social media, and online communities mean that company behaviors are out there in the public domain. Consumers have insights on ethical procurement, fair treatment of an inclusive supply chain, transparency, environmental stewardship, and sustainable sourcing to reducing waste, transparency and fair labor practices, and all of the above. Now, the supply chain is vulnerable to unethical practices. An ethical supply chain focuses on social and human rights, corporate social responsibility, enterprise and social development and inclusion, building deeper relationships beyond tier one, and working to produce products and services in a way that treats stakeholders and supply chain environment ethically. My name is Mdiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and for this discussion, I'm joined by Vusi Fele, who is the Chief Procurement Officer over at APSA Group, to discuss the ethics that are involved in the supply chain. Vusi, greetings to you once again.
It is Mdiwa. And one more time, talking about a very important subject in the life of business, but also in the life of society as a whole.
Now, as we did say, you know, during that introduction, the issue of ethics is quite wide and is quite broad, just given all the different aspects that we spoke about, transparency, the treatment, all of this stuff. How do we work towards an ethical business value chain?
Yeah, Mdiwa, when it comes to ethics, it's, I think it's about our orientation and doing the right things in society. Yeah, I think for me it starts there. My attitude and aptitude with regards to treating fairly in both the environment and also the people that I come across and also the results that I get. It's really important. So within business, and making sure we've got a ethical business value chain. It starts also for me from the time that we integrate and come to agree and engage towards a business deal. It does not, ethics will not start at signing the right contract or exchanging the right money. It starts at the engagement level, what our objectives and mindsets are by doing the right things. So by having specific and bespoke training programs in business, A to Z, all people that are in business understanding that when we behave unethically, first we steal from ourselves, we steal from the environment, we steal from the future generation, right? Both from a monetary perspective, economic perspective, and also from a social and social impact perspective. So we need to expose our procedures and processes from induction and then have ongoing training and awareness interventions throughout the value chain, throughout the life cycle of a business relationship, both from an employee perspective, the shareholders, and also general stakeholders in the society at large.
You know, when you're talking, one of the things that does come about is that there is a lot to digest when it comes to this issue. But does ethics actually also then include things like sustainability and good earth practice, or is that something that is involved elsewhere in what some people might think about as the ESG chain?
If you think about the ESG chain, i.e. environmental, social and governance, if I were to use those as cogs, then gears, but that drives us and move us forward. Each and every one is mutually inclusive and mutually dependent on each other. If we don't treat the environment correctly and preserve the environment, it has got an adverse concomitant impact on future of business and future of life. So sustainability and good health practice are mutually inclusive and they will never be separate. That's why we cannot, if you look at today where we are, some previous practices in if I were to use the extractive industry as an example, profits that have been made in the past, but now the environment is suffering. You look at global warming, it's because of chasing profits without a consciousness on the impact on environment. But also it's for me, again, making sure that we do the right things and put forward for our future generations. So you cannot separate the two in one way, Temutiba. Any successful business must have both metrics and KPIs from the board to extend it to stakeholders, in terms of customers, in terms of investors, have the mutual focus on both the impact on environment, impact on business practice, and then impact on good governance.
Now, while some people might still be a little bit in the gray about sustainability and good earth practice, when it comes to things like ethics, right, things like white-collar crime and corruption are looked at very black and white when we're talking about ethics. So historically and currently, what are some of the most consistently challenging white-collar and corruption issues that are actually facing supply chains at the moment?
And then another important question, Temutiba. If you look at white-collar crime, people think people defrauding businesses and banks and financial systems is the most crime in place. That. But if you were to drill down to supply chain, that is quite a safe concern. But the most important aspect for me in terms of leakages in the supply chain vis-a-vis white-collar crime and corruption and also impact on ethics, also stemming from what you discussed earlier between good practice, good health practice, and sustainability, is that if you look at manufacturing processes whereby I've got a factory, a case in point, I think we've been looking at the story that has been developing in the past year of a factory down in KZN in Durban, which then there was chemical spillages into communities. That of its own is one of the key issues in supply chain. When you select your business partners, you select your suppliers, select your service providers, that they've got good practice that does not impact on environment. But then if then that particular, if I tell you the same story, and you find that there was exchange of administrative lapses or look away from key compliance requirements to requisite officials. That's what call a crime. It might not be monetary in terms of impact. However, it's got quite a substantial and significant financial impact into the future of today when administrators who are supposed to be our eyes and ears look away to lapse processes. So supply chain can be exposed to many facets of white-collar crime and then corruption, therefore taking away from ethical behavior. I'm just using that one as a basic example, but there's many other examples. And if you look at cross-border issues and customs and exercise, again, where we're driving illicit goods through, that also impacts and steals away from our fiscal.
No, it certainly does. And when you're talking about all of these issues, like you said, there are a lot of misconceptions, but you know, more and more we're hearing more about this stuff, and whether it has to do with the internet access to information, social media, all of these issues, there's a lot of consumer activism that's been on the rise and social media bringing these issues to the public domain. So the question then becomes, how is this exposure actually impacting trends relating to ethics in the supply chain and also the triple bottom line around the people, planet and profit? Simply because, you know, some people might address some of these issues just from an image point of view. How do you engender a spirit of actually making sure that it is done properly to its core?
I think the advent and the growth of social media for me has been a positive aspect in driving consumer activism. You'll know that we've got many NGOs in the past, like Oxford, right? Oxfam, that have been the voice of unethical behavior, but limited to, say, in the past to print media or still is coming up on radio. But I think the advent of having social media, people are able to pick up issues on the spot to bring it to the attention of shareholders, to bring attention to congress officers, to bring attention to custodians of good governance across the board is quite for me important. For me, it's a positive impact, but that needs to then be well managed and encouraged appropriately to bring about and stemming the misbehaviors that we see even from established corporates and establishing corporates. But also, I think for me, it's also quite a key aspect when we talk about in terms of supply development, how to ensure that we wire that in to developing entrepreneurs to ensure that when they start off their businesses, they start it from a sound ethical basis and have an understanding in terms of data, in terms of exposure and stimuli from a sustainability perspective. What is material in our society if we to look at South Africa is incorporated to ensure that we focus on material issues? And I think the activism in social media, therefore, help us to identify the themes that come up and then stratify them and translate that to your king quotes, which is what your triple bottom line is all about, between profits, environment, and governance together, and make sure the society is moving forward progressively than regressively. I don't want to leave a legacy for my kids or for your kids or for our young people that is broken because of our misbehaviors today.
Yeah, no, certainly the next generation should not be paying for this generation's sins. But Vusi, if an ethical supply chain focuses on social and human rights, corporate social responsibility, enterprise and supply development and inclusion, building deeper relationships beyond tier one, and working to produce products and services in a way that treats stakeholders and the supply chain environment ethically, how can corporates leverage the corporate social investment to actually benefit people? I guess looking back to what you've just said just now, people and the planet in the supply chain.
It's quite important that the internal strategies that corporates employ, right? If you look at, we talked earlier about ESG. I think there's another E we left there deliberately. Because today you have to look at economic, right? You get environment, you get social, and you get governance. All of these work together to a successful supply chain, work together to a progressive society. So as corporates, we need to play our part. If I look at my own organization, APSA, one of our key strategic tenets is playing and is becoming an active force for good in society, in all aspects of society, be it our banking products, be it our services, and make sure that we align our funding requirements and services towards building a sustainable future for all of us. So therefore, even in supply chain, when we take social, take products or approaches like your CSIs, corporate social investment, and move them up the ladder towards a sustainable shared value approach, where we can make profits, but we know that there are the society and business and governance policy makers are only but one subset or also one set of a cell, but with subsets that fit on each other, then we'll have a progressive society. In for me, in my own profession, in procurement, in supply chain, selecting the right suppliers with a social lens, selecting suppliers with an economic lens, selecting suppliers then with a sustainability lens, and environmental lens, help them to make sure we've got the right partners that services the industry.
No, certainly. And from that, it sounds like there's a bit of a spirit of collaboration when it comes to some of these things, because you have to look at them on a holistic level. So when it comes to that, how can corporates actually, one, collaborate, you know, to provide more holistic integrated solutions? And then secondly, source more, because this is where the heart of the issue is, to say, how do you use all those relationships to actually source locally and ethically from local communities?
I believe, Mudiwa, it starts with defining your right policies. Then you move from policy to implementation, and then implementation to monitoring your policy tenets, and then and also bolt forward. So collaborating in terms of selecting the right entity in the supply chain, we need to work with industry bodies, with government, and have the same approaches so that if I say at APSA, spillages in the environment are not acceptable. That I should not, then if I could, if that same supplier as Muduwa Incorporated goes and then does business with another bank or another manufacturer, the same, they must find the same approaches than saying it is acceptable with A, but with B not acceptable. That's why if I use back, we go back to the extractive industries, and then because of within that, we've left big Kimberley holes, we left environmental broke. However, then we use those products to advance other type of economies. We are information age today, but it stems from your basic mining activities. There's a bolt up, so we should have same approaches or similar approaches, but not to that industry. But then, for me, the apex will be defining what is not acceptable in any society and work with that in terms of policy construct, procedures, and then also the requisite consequence management.
One of the things that's come up throughout this discussion is this issue of going beyond tier one. And one of the questions that is begged, especially when you're looking at things from a holistic point of view, is to say, how do you build better quality relationships with second and third tier suppliers? And whilst you are maybe explaining that to us, Vusi, maybe you can just give us an insight into how those tiers are actually defined.
In terms of the tiering of suppliers, my first tier is a person that I've got a direct relationship with from a contract and service provision perspective, right? Then my second tier will be the providers or the providers of services into my suppliers that then gives me the final product as a primary customer. And your third tier, again, will be then those that are linked to the value chain indirectly to the final product. So by inculcating, and as what we do by my own organization, APSA as well, in our contracting processes, we obligate and place contractual obligations to the first tier supplier, the one-on-one relationship, to their second tier, to their third tier, to ensure that the same approaches are followed through, and the awareness and training, and also then the consequences that come into fore positively and negatively should we not then aligned. So that's quite important. If we don't have the same approaches in the value chain, business, let's say breaking down your value chain, you don't have the same processes from, let's say, if I use an example of agriculture, right? If you employ child labor in production, it's got similar consequences to I as a customer buying that cabbage, for example, from Pick and Pay or from the Woolworths, because or the same ethical lens has not been used. But by ensuring that the farmer cannot employ child labor, does not have lock up labor, does not withhold identities of people, of their workers, and does not pay them correctly, that is got a consequential negative approach or positive approach when done right to the end customer as well.
As you're talking, it sort of lends itself to, I guess, all the pieces are now sort of coming together, and it's making a lot more sense of what we're talking about when we talk about that holistic approach. We spoke about the collaboration earlier on, and then all of this stuff that you're talking about then feeds into empowering the youth, women, rural and township suppliers, because those are some of the second and third order suppliers that are feeding into those that have direct relationships with the corporates and stuff like that. But then when it comes to also being transparent, right? One of the hardest parts then is how far do you go in being transparent to your entire value chain, especially when it comes to being transparent and accountable for the mistakes that have happened along the way? Because you mentioned just now that what if there's child labor somewhere in the supply chain? How do you communicate that in a way that shows that, okay, fine, it's not us that were directly responsible, but we feel that just by being a piece of our supply chain, we're taking responsibility for it and we're going to remedy it in A, B, and C, D way.
So in terms of transparency, that's why it's important that we report. If you look at most developed corporates integrated financial reporting, you look at their sustainability reports, you will, if you clean through them, it's where companies then make statements and start to say, here's how we look like. I think for me, that's baselining. You need to baseline where you are vis-a-vis the apex or the North Star. What is the right thing to do? And then build up processes and to remediate that, i.e. integrating these ethical lens and sustainability lenses in your business decisions. And then report on your success, how far you are going. But then do not accept new challenge or new misbehaviors into your supply chain. That helps as a lot, right? But at the same time, also then placing money and funding is part of remediating where mistakes have been made, but to put forward, not to, it's part of repatriation and not just to pay off people, but to say, how do we make sure it does not happen again? And also doing a study on lessons learned where things have gone wrong and coming back and say these things are, and report say, well, we've learned this is not part of us. However, we've begun now to train. As we said, we use the same farm example, our farmers, to ensure that the children are kept in school and they're educated, but then the right labor is of right age and with the right labor practices is put in place. By training the ability chain, you then are pulling forward and owning up to our own mistakes.
No, most certainly. And that owning up actually ends up engendering that spirit, at least amongst most of the activist community and the consumers, that spirit of saying, okay, fine, this is a company that is actually trying to be inclusive in everything that they do and one that can actually be trusted going forward. So to sort of round up the discussion, Vusi, how can corporates build a sustainable supply chain that supports transformation and inclusion without, you know, compromising their own ethics?
I think the MDI starts with, amongst many, one, your policy stance and your public stance. Again, the DAPSA, we've developed, amongst other instruments, what we call the APSA lens, in terms of looking at all things ethically. And then we have inculcated the same in selecting and also wired that as part of the criteria for selecting business partners, selecting suppliers as a key input into the evaluation and adjudication criteria. So then what we've done further is to then train our suppliers. Even this year, we've got our, in October, a big day that we're planning for a supplier ethics dialogue day, where we'll take small and big suppliers, take them through what is required in terms of the triple bottom line and governance and where society is moving, and then also build that as part of their own process and processes in their own value chains and also their own entities. So by doing that, therefore, at the same time saying by encouraging the same folks, developing small suppliers and funding them with the same lens, you are ingraining and embedding the ethical approaches across all society. And then reporting these matters where then they are found to be wanting.
No, most certainly. So that's been us. We're talking to Vusi Fele, who is the Chief Procurement Officer over at APSA Group, about the ethics in the supply chain, talking about the place of ethics even beyond just the white-collar crime and corruption that we usually associate with ethics. He is talking about the fact that ethics goes into the triple bottom line around the people, planet, and profit, because when you look at those ESG issues, environmental, social, and governance, ethics plays into all of that. And he was also just talking about the fact that there has been a rise in consumers learning more and more just around the type of ethics that companies actually employ. And as such, a lot of consumer groups and even businesses are taking companies and corporates to task just around their own treatment of people in their own supply chains, and just making sure that everything is done above board. And then also talking about why it's important to make sure that communities are empowered if we're going to be having more sustainable supply chains going forward. But one of the things that he does talk about the most and that he is emphasizing is to say that as corporate citizens, there's a big responsibility now on corporate to actually make sure that each piece of their own supply chains, is operating at a good and a high ethical level. Vusi, any last words from you just to round up the discussion?
Muliwa, thank you so much. I think for all of us communities, both from the approaching and developing entrepreneurs, we cannot not wire even with small businesses the ethical mindset, making sure that it becomes the DNA of a successful business, because businesses that are unethical, they don't last long. But for me, for you to put in one slang word is ethics equals profits.
I like that very much. Ethics equals profits. So those are the words of Vusifele, Chief Procurement Officer over at Absa Group. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail.
The Absa Business Day Supplier Development Awards celebrates companies using supplier development to build thriving, inclusive, and transformative supply chains. They encourage supplier development, foster sector-wide skills transfer, promote industry collaboration, and provide an annual benchmark of supplier development good practice. To join the growing network of companies that are contributing to a sustainable economy through supplier development, simply go to www.sdaawards.co.za today.